Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couples TV Show with Greg and Cheryl Clark. You have made a great choice. Now sit back, take notes, and expect your relationship to transform today. Now join me in welcoming your hosts, Greg and Cheryl Clark.
Welcome to another episode of the Inner Discovery Hour with Greg and Cheryl. It's my pleasure to be with you and be with this lovely, luscious that's sitting next to me. My name is Gregory Clark Sr., and as always, it's great for me to introduce to some and present to others the lovely Cheryl Clark.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Cheryl Clark on another side of my wonderful husband here at Couples Motivators. And we're going to be excited, have some exciting things for you this evening. Get ready, because I want to turn it over to Greg, because we've got some exciting things on the pipeline down for this hour.
Well, definitely what you can do is if you want to be a part of today's festivities and the conversation, which hopefully you were able to see our post earlier today on the Couples Motivators page on Facebook, is 347-996-3160. Again, that's 347-996-3160. And don't mind the noises in the background, but on top of that, you have to see our lovely new set that's around us.
Yes.
That someone decorated and hooked up together.
Well, it's our second office. So, we're entrepreneurs, so we do have different things. We were in our home, so now we came into our second office. And so you get to see how we do a different set, so different atmosphere. So this is where we're going to be doing our show from, and we're excited to bring it to you.
A. I almost went someplace else with A. But anyway, this is going to be a great night. It's going to be an excellent night. As usual, we got on our Couples Motivators Dream Big shirts. You know that you'll have an opportunity, because we've had people inquire about how could they get a shirt like this. So believe you me, if you go to couplemotivators@gmail.com right now, and if you decide that this is a T-shirt that you want in your life, you send us an email. We'll send you some PayPal information for you to send your information to, and we can get one of these shirts shipped out to you. We have them in various sizes, and there's nothing better than to have a dream big shirt on, because not only am I a big man, I dream big as well. But as you can see, we have two great words behind us, home and love. And those things are of very much paramount and structured foundations for the Couples Motivators, because without those firm foundations, you can't go forward, regardless if you're thinking about doing anything extensive as doing a business or even just to flow towards different levels of expression within the relationship. You have to have those two segments as a stability sense. Cheryl, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, absolutely. It's in a nutshell. That's what we're about, Couples Motivators. And if you are engaged, or if you are dating in a long-term relationship, or you are married, this is the place where you want to be. And we're going to be able to now connect with you on a more larger scale in the next couple of weeks if you would like to join us in this endeavor. We're having a community of just motivating couples all around the world. So we are excited about what the things that we're getting ready to do and launch in the background. But today's show, like Eric said, if you want to call in, you can call us at 347-996-3160. That's 347-996-3160 for you guys to call in if you have any questions. Because today, men, the show is dedicated to you.
Mm-mm.
And Greg will be going from a male's point of view about
the five major things men want women to know about them. See, before we get into the different points and things of that nature, that's one of the most major, and it's not even a discord, it's just one of the major conversations that occurs in a relationship, is what do men want? But believe you, ladies, just because today is my turn, next week it'll be her turn. Next week we're going to flip the tables, and I get to sit there with pen and pad to hear and jot down some more new information that's going to be shared. So this week I won the coin toss, so that's why, usually, you let ladies go first, but Cheryl was so gracious in losing the coin toss and allowing me to you know, have offense first.
Well, in actuality, this is going to help our women because
it is.
So actually, we did go first.
That reverse psychology people.
What we get to know is we get to know all about what our men are thinking from a male's perspective. So men and ladies, get your paper and pen out because you're going to want to jot down these things. And we only have an hour to do these things. So if you want to call in, put your calling, your phone dialing in so you can call at 347-996-3160 right now. And Greg, the first one?
Ooh, the first one. Now, I'm not going to go in a specific order, but I'm going to hit it up with this one. Watching what we say. Now, what do you mean by watching what we say? Well, one of the things that we realize, as especially dealing with relationships and dealing in the whole standpoint of male and female, you may find it sometimes unpopular for us to be a little bit vulnerable. Men don't like to show their vulnerable side. And yes, as much as that we're big, strong, strapping young men or older men or elders or whatever the case may be, sometimes the way that we deal with our feelings, we can sit there and end up with our hands crossed, depending on what our female says to us. So when it comes to dealing with the simple fact of watching what we say, I'm about to ask Cheryl, what does she wish to interject on that? Because sometimes what our woman says to us, depending on the, how shall I say, the stimuli or the situation or the circumference of the area that we're in, you can sometimes take a man from here and bring them all the way down to here. Cheryl, what do you have to add to that?
Well, absolutely. You can find it's not popular for men to show that they're hurting or their feelings. And so growing up, it wasn't allowed for men to be vulnerable.
Nope.
So men do cry. Men do get hurt. So when men express their feelings, it's one thing you let you know that they express it differently than men, than women.
You know, I always have to be a little funny about that. But one of the things that sometimes that we don't tap into is our emotional state as men. It's not that men who cry are weak. Sometimes some of the greatest expressions, and especially as with me being a football coach, I've seen myself at times get emotional, and I mean, I let my players see it, but you know, you get so happy for their achievement or happy for all the stuff that you do, but sometimes, you know, those eyes are water up, you get a little red eye, and you sit there and you try to suck it back, but sometimes you just let it go, and it's not about showing weakness, believe you me. The ability to control your emotions, to express your emotions in a way that allows yourself to be more expansive is actually for your own growth too, fellas. So at times when, you know, people say, you know, oh, you can't do that because it may seem like you're soft, or if you express yourself to your woman, it may be a particular issue that's kind of wrong. Nah. Especially if you know that you're dealing with your partner. See, if you're just dealing with someone, and that's what we dealt with in previous talks about the difference between dating and courting. If you're dealing with your partner, that is the person that you should be able to be vulnerable with. Believe me, that's the person that's supposed to see you naked. I mean, I'm not just talking about in the physical. See, if you're just stuck on the physical plane and say, oh, this person has seen me at my lowest point. No, low points come in all different stages, and there's always peaks and valleys. And if you get caught up in the physical condition or just your emotional state and you don't have the ability to allow yourself to receive and perceive what's going on around you, and especially in the communication process based on what we're listening to as men, then sometimes we can be our own worst critic and our own detriment to ourselves. What do you have to add to that, Cheryl?
Well, I think that's a poignant point because when you put – there's one thing I wanted to say to the ladies is that putting them down in front of others is a major thing as well when watch what you say in that aspect because you can do that. We have 6 children. And you have to, it's amazing how you see them grow in that aspect. So putting them down in front of others and how men express their feelings, remember they express their feelings differently. So right now we're going to give you some pointers of women, how you can support your man's emotional needs. because this is an emotion. We have emotions. We are vulnerable to cry and things of that nature. So, what's some of the things that they can do? Would you like me to say? You wanna?
No, I like this because these are the things that I want to hear my. I love to hear my woman speak. I even receive those comments in love that we get from those individuals who go to the couple motivators page on Facebook. And remember, if you haven't liked the page, you should go like the page right now. And I've taken comments, I've taken certain videos I posted up. People said that I over-talked or I interjected. And you know what? That is part of what the couple motivators is for. So right now, my wife, my partner, not in crime but in life, will talk about some of the things to support.
Well, one of the things that you could do is boost his esteem.
How do you boost him up?
So the appreciation of things that he has done and not his failures. You don't belittle him with negative words. Motivate him. Another thing you could do is he needs sex. So he needs to feel wanted. So ladies, when you hold back sex, those things that he doesn't they need sex. We need sex as well, but men, they need sex. And don't complain about everything. Everything does not need to be complained about.
No, say that once more.
Don't complain about everything.
Yes, Lord.
So there's things that we need to learn in regards to don't complain about everything, but to motivate them, they need sex, and to boost his esteem.
Now, one of the things that I will, jump behind what my wife just graciously added, is that the whole thing with the sex part. Now, sometimes people would think that as men, since we are more visual and our stuff is more external, that everything is basically about just trying to poke it in every chance you get. But there are times that we do get our moments where it's not just about just the penetration. It's not about just being physically trying to jump within the body of another. Sometimes when you get that emotional connection, that's why I said your partner, your person who sees you at those points, that person who can build you up, that person who won't tear you down, that person who will do certain things for you that not most people will do for you. That individual is not necessarily about the physical sex, even though sex is important. We need sex. But that emotional attachment allows that the physicalness of saying, oh, if I'm not actually penetrating my wife tonight, and all I'm doing is holding her hand, or I'm just hugging her, and we're just sitting there talking, or if I just, I'm stroking her back, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes for me, and this is just me personally, sometimes for me with this woman, that's just as good as having sex. Not to say that, the regular stuff, or the Valentine's Day stuff, and some of the other stuff that's just beautiful and kinky and just
lovely.
Well, not
only just Valentine's Day.
So. No, but I'm just saying, those things I appreciate as well. But see, one of the things that we want people to start to learn, and I know we're going to deal with it in depth and along the way, is that sex is not just about the physical intimacy, the physical. And I mean, we gave you a little snippet maybe last week about the tantric sex. But this all flows back into what we say, because sometimes women, what you say with how you interact with your man, with your body, as Cheryl was alluding to earlier, can speak volumes. And then it becomes something that we start thinking in our brain, and next thing you know, we may have friction because now we're thinking one thing because we may be thinking in an analytical, more direct, more physically visual way. And then you're coming from the standpoint of emotionalism, inwardness, that whole thing of keeping, certain things together and being that rock in a lot of situations. And next thing you know, the viewpoints start getting varied. It has nothing to do with the love that's been established. It's just that now we're dealing with, what we're saying non-verbally. Because not everything that you do verbally is going to merit the same way. Sometimes you speak louder non-verbally than you do verbally. And so that leads me into number two. Now, fellas, regardless of recording or whatever the case may be, please hear me. Hear me, ladies. Hear me. Be my wife or girlfriend, not my mama. I'm going to say it again. We, menfolk, want a woman, want their girlfriend to be just that. That is that person that we're cleaving to. I don't need my mama in my house. If that was the case, I shouldn't have grown up and I should have stayed, you know, doing childish things and doing other kind of craziness. What do you have to say to that before I start jumping to some of the particular show?
Exactly what you said. I think you should go right jumping right into it. I think that ladies, we tend to do some things that can mirror our mothers instead of mirroring our wife or girlfriend. In the girlfriend aspect, I wouldn't too much think that you'll be acting like the mama.
Okay.
But when you get to a wife and then things start happening and life starts happening, and then Greg is going to get into some things of what we can, what we tend to do, ladies.
Number one, don't reprimand your boyfriend or your husband. And what I mean by reprimand, please don't make him sit like he's on timeout in the corner. Because sometimes, as I've learned from the past, and I know will continue into the future, I can't out-argue my wife. My wife will say 400 words to my 50. So for me, I already have that resigned in my mind. When it comes to certain interactions, I understand my place. Not saying that she's below me, I'm above her. No, I know my place. I'm not there to argue with my wife. But please, no reprimanding or putting in the corner or in a bad boy's chair of your husband or your boyfriend. Please do never do that. And please, one thing, and this is a pet peeve of mine personally, and I'm happy my wife doesn't do this. And I've heard, you know, some of my interactions with some of my good people have told me that. That whole situation where, you know, sometimes you try to get too close to the mother and then start trying to emulate certain things of what the mama was doing, and now they want to bring that stuff into the household. Please, there's a point of understanding that you may can glean some wisdom from my elders and glean some insight into, you know, certain things that man may desire, may like, you know, maybe a particular food, stuff like that. But when you start trying to take stuff to another level, and that level of emulation, especially dealing with that mama, that's not a, I feel my wife ready to say something. Say it.
I don't think I emulated your mother at all.
No. I had to catch myself. That was a Freudian slip. No, I wasn't. You wasn't. No. I wanted you to share on that point about, you know, sometimes when you get to the point where not only how emulation can be a little bit wrong, where because there are some ladies out there who sometimes try to do that, thinking to try to be too much like the young man's mama or the husband's mama. And sometimes how that can actually be a detriment in the relationship. Do you feel that?
I feel that. Especially when we're mothers, we tend to not so much be like our mothers, but you know, we have that thing where, oh my goodness, I'm acting like my mother. However, you can act like your mother or be that mother, like I said, go clean up your room, go do this, go do that, go do that. But your spouse is not your child. You do not need to be in a mama's tone with your spouse. You don't have to be militant with your spouse. Go do that because I said to do that. He's your friend, and that's what you want to make sure that you understand, that he's your friend and he's not your son. So that's what you need to get to understand.
Say that last part again.
He's your friend and not your son.
Come on.
And you need to be his number one motivator in that aspect, because son, different role than you are friend. So you stay in that friend. So here's some things, ladies, that you can write down for you, that how things that you could do to not to be his mama, but to be his friend. Approach him in a nice way. Remind him of, you know, that it's his turn to take the dishes and not to do the dishes and take out the garbage, but not tell him, you know it was your turn to take out the, you know, why you didn't do that? Because we could go in that role, because the kids tend to, we have to be reminders as moms. Now take off that, you could do a gently reminder to your husband. He's not your son. Hun, is it possible that the garbage didn't get taken out or stuff like that? And you have to develop that over time, a communication that the way to supporting, a supportive space. Because if you don't feel supported, and he may not do no more. So so he has to feel supported. And another thing, calm and respectful way. You have to be respectful. I respect my husband. I respect what he does. I respect that he's my friend first and he's not my son. So that is where we need to make sure that, and the last part is, in a nutshell, we're treating our husband like a child, and we need to be more like a wife. So that's in a nutshell.
Well, as you can see, fellas out there, if you want to call in at 347-996-3160, there's a lot of wisdom being shared right now. There's some wisdom being shared. I picked the right one. I know I picked the right one. But, you know, and, you know, for those of you who are on our Facebook page, remember, go like the Facebook page, Couple Motivated on Facebook, facebook.com/thecouplemotivated. You should be joining, leaping over into your computer right now, making sure that you're taking advantage of the opportunity to be connected with us. There's some great things coming down the pike. Now, we're at number three. Okay, I'm going to brace myself for this one. Oh, getting my back straight, sitting upright. Ladies, ladies, I'm even going to say it third time for emphasis. Ladies, please don't think that is your way or the highway. Now, we're going to go back and forth about this. This is what men want, because believe me, there are situations, as my lovely wife has sat here next to me, that's why she has that grin on her face, once they become mothers, once they become, you know, matrons of status, once they become that level where they start, you know, figuring out who they are, they start implementing that thing very vehemently all over the place, very straightforward, and very like, what? Wait a minute. Let me finish. This is what men want. See? What men want? Okay. So you can get the comments and start off with it. Because
this particular point where it's our way or the highway, I agree with totally. Because women, ladies, we have a way of doing things around the home. However, when we step in, you know, into the point where we're asking him to wash the clothes and stuff like that, and he just doesn't do it the way that we tend to do it or make the bed, it doesn't mean that he's wrong. You want to make sure that at least he's pitching in to make sure that he is now partaking of the load. Sharing the load, because that's what it's about. It's about sharing the load. So what does that mean, ladies? What does that mean for us? It means that we, as a mother, and as maybe as wives, for those who are not mothers just yet, we are here to make sure that you understand that from the male's point of view, to don't go redo it. It's not about redoing it. You're showing that you could do it better? No. So that's not what we're saying. It's not about you showing that you could do it better. It's and also compromising. So the things that you can do in that regard is to empower him more, is to say thank you when he does something. Appreciate his effort in doing it. So that is a major, major thing in regards to showing your spouse that it's not your way or the highway, but it's our way, and compromising is a big key.
Now, one of the things that as I continue to expound about that, and I thank my wife for what she just said. Now, one of the things that really comes to play and comes to direct understanding in reference to dealing with this particular highway, way, which way are we going, which way are we not going, things of that nature. One of the things that I understand it to be and understand it to know is that sometimes what comes in reference to who's dealing with what or who's dealing with certain things in a particular way, that comes from your previous foundation. That comes from things that may have, you know, happened from a past situation that you're trying to understand and alleviate in. And one of the things that comes to mind is that there's power in understanding where it is that you came from. There's certain foundational tools, like we said from the past, my wife was raised in one particular style, I was raised in a particular style. I'm not saying my way is the right way, I'm not saying her way is the wrong way, and vice versa. What it is that after a while, sometimes a conflict comes into play, is that, as she said, there's certain things that we may get to the point that are a little bit structured, and just because someone lives in the projects, has nothing to do with someone who lives in the in another point in time. So once you start to realize who and what you are, and how to allow those thoughts and those viewpoints to come into play, then things will work itself out in a better form.
So one thing I want you to know is. One thing we need to know is that there's nothing like just being with your spouse, but also we got to realize that there's things that we do, like what Greg said, that we tend to bring in our own regime from our old regime. But when you start dealing with your husband and wife, you guys need to start formulating your regime. What is the way that goes in for your household? What are the things that it goes your way and his way, and then it becomes our way? So Greg's mom was a very good organizer. So Greg came into marriage with very good organizational skills. I came into the relationship with very creative skills. So we put that all together, and that's how we build our home, and that's what we teach our children. So you've got to figure out what's your strengths in the relationship and then roll with that. Because if you do not make sure that your strengths are highlighted, then it becomes an issue later on, or it could become an issue later on.
Very, very true. And one of the things that we start to see and we start to grow with in the understanding of saying that, you know what, even though I was raised in a particular household, one of the things that we tell our children all the time is that this is not her mama's household. This ain't my mama's household. This is now the Clark's household. This blended family of the Clark that does certain things in a particular way. And once our kids got to that understanding and that point of realizing that, oh, they can't just say that we're doing things in this particular way. No, this is a more evolutionary thought, because in order for things to progress and to grow, there has to be evolution.
Yes.
And when people start talking about plans and it's like there's a plan A, plan B, no, there's one plan. If you have several different plans, that means you didn't have one plan from the beginning with. And when there was a plan for me and this woman to get together, you know, there's certain things that, just like I said, peaks and valleys. There's certain things that you've got to go through those rough patches. You got to go through those times where it's not necessarily a test of strength or a test of fortitude, but what it is the test, are you really in this? Are you really in this when you hear those vows? Are you really here to understand that there are days where, you know, just because you may digress as a man to say, you know what, I'm going to let my wife take the lead on this. That doesn't mean that I'm giving up my authority or giving up my position. No, what it is that that shows even more that I have enough strength within my position to be like, you know, my wife got this.
And you I want to make up a good point. My husband had foot surgery about 3 weeks ago, and that means that he couldn't drive for a couple of weeks, and that means that he still can't put his foot in a shoe. He has a boot. And so that means that I needed to pitch in and really be that person to drive. I needed to do some things that he normally couldn't do. The children needed to pitch in and shovel the snow because my husband could not shovel the snow. He couldn't go out there. So there's things that was happening that sometimes you are in the ship, and sometimes you have to take the helm, and sometimes you will be doing 60 and he will be doing 40. Sometimes you will be doing 70 and sometimes she will be doing 30. It depends on what's going on in that time. But then it can't always be your way or the highway. So you have to compromise, like we said, and be able to shift and go with the waves. Because if you don't go with the waves can overtake you. And then this is where we come down to the fact of number four, Gregory is a good one to transition into.
Men are not mind readers. I'm gonna let that resonate for about 5 seconds.
I had to learn the hard way with that one.
I'm gonna let that resonate for me off for about 5 seconds before I say it again. Men are not mind readers. Please don't make that assumption.
It's
girlfriend, wife, significant other, that we're going to sit there and try to decipher women. Men will never be able to decipher women. There are times where, and this is no joke, because I know every man who especially been in a long-term relationship, and I've been with a girl 2-3 years. I'm going on 25 years with this woman. And there are days when I sit there, and I love her to death, but there are days I sit there and be like, you know what, I'm going to step away from you because I don't know what in the hell is going on right now. And it's not hell's the same that she's creating hell. It's just like, what is the problem? No, because I want some, like, wait, where did this come from? And then you start to realize you keep your sanity as a man by saying, you know what, it's good to say you don't know. You just don't know. Sometimes don't try to act like you know everything and you're going to fix everything and you the decipher of all. No, you're not that omnipresent that you're going to try to figure out those things. There are times when it's good as a man that shows your intelligence to sit back and say, you know what, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if a child did something to you. I don't know if you pricked your foot. I don't know if someone yelled at you. I don't know if someone cut you off in the car. I don't know what it is. But right now, let me just sit here, hear you out, listen. I don't know what's going on. But ladies, please, please don't expect us to figure it out. Especially sometimes y'all send little hints. And as men, we're a little bit direct. Say what it is on your mind. My wife knows, especially if I'm bringing it to a personal level. Tell me. Talk to me. Now, for me, I know I'm very intelligent, and it's not to pat myself on the back, but there's certain things I'm not going to catch.
Sure.
I'm not going to catch. And it's not that I'm not focused on my wife or I don't love my wife, but there's certain signals that after a while you're sitting there and you're knocking something out, and it's like, oh. And you get that, you know, that bullwinkle face, that, oh. And you just sit there for a moment, and it's like Rocky about to, you know, throw something at you to wake you up. So, we're not mind readers. We do our best. If it leads us to water, we will drink. Especially we know that if you led us to other places before, that were great. If you want me to lick that or do that, I'll follow you. But don't expect me just to read your mind. Sharon, what do you have to add?
Well, I want to say it's very true. I have been many days where... Before we came to an understanding, and we are 20 years plus into this thing, and he could come and say, what's wrong? And we say, nothing. And then they take that word nothing as literally nothing.
And then nothing
happens after you say the word nothing. It becomes World War II. That can happen, or radio silence from us, right? It's one of two things. We're going to argue, or we're going to become radio silence. We're very much so like that.
So don't walk
around with grudges. Just you need to start letting him know exactly what you want, because he is not a mind reader. And ladies, they cannot read between the lines.
Well, we can.
No.
We can do our best, but sometimes
don't get that hope something. You cannot read
sometimes
the lines.
Are blurry.
That's why you have to be very concrete with you.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot say
you can't be
it would be nice for you to cook me dinner one day. If you're suggesting something, no. Honey, could you cook so-and-so-and-so a day, or would it be possible? That's what needs to happen, because if not, you're going set yourself up for being disappointed. And that was a part of our our thing, because we didn't tell each other exactly what we expected from one another. And that is an issue that comes up a lot of times in marriages and relationships, is that we go on these things with these unrealistic things that we're expecting them to automatically know.
So the expectations are high?
Even if the expectations are high, let him know or let her know what is the expectation. And I think that was both of us. I think this goes dual, when you don't know what the other person is really thinking. What is that other person really expecting from you? Now, with that being said, it's not going to happen overnight.
No, it's not supposed to.
No, it's not going to happen. But it gives a clear understanding of what the other person needs in a relationship. Because if the other person doesn't understand what you need, it's not going to happen. And change is not going to happen.
Now, it depends on what level of change you're talking about, man.
I think when we talk about communication, what are you talking about?
Anyway, no, but like when my wife was there, I liked the analogies and some of the similes that she was putting together in reference to World War II and or radio silence. See, World War II, and you know, for those veterans, salute you. You know, we thank you for your service, regardless of whatever war you served in to defend your country.
Absolutely.
And but you know, war is hell. War is hell. I don't care what you think it is. When you dealing in that particular standpoint where that woman is walking around there thinking in her mind, he was supposed to get it. He was supposed to do it like this. I don't understand. What is his problem? He don't like me. He don't love me. Stop. Maybe he's just not getting it. And it has nothing to do with love.
Just don't get it.
If you're telling me I'm focused on 10 different things that deals with long-term planning, bills, things that we have on the agenda right now, excuse me, you have to understand, sometimes looking at me, but that type of look, I may not catch it.
That is
because I might be focused on the other stuff that allows your behind to be able to walk around and to give me that look. So, please, ladies, to help yourselves, don't expect your man to be a mind reader. And no, he likes it a certain way.
But why do we always have to roll back to me?
Hey, I ain't saying nothing about sex. If he likes it in a certain way, it could be his food, it could be his house. See, you went to sex. Because
that's where you always go.
No, that's not where I always go. The innuendos of it may seem like I'm going in that direction.
Yeah.
But that's not where I'm going.
Okay.
If he likes it, see, that it can be so many variables. If he likes it in a particular way, you need to, you know, try to meet him halfway. Try to meet him somewhere in the middle. And the same thing, and with men, and I can speak to my men, especially as we may not be mind readers, but at the same time, we have to be more responsible in the fact of allowing ourselves to try to catch those signals. Now, every signal we ain't going to catch.
No.
But if you're with someone for an extended period of time. Now, there's certain things that certain signals my wife gives me, I know. I kind of know sometimes when she comes in and she has that grunt mode, like, you know, she experienced her little piece of whatever was going on outside the house. And
I try not to do that. So.
And but just hear me out. That she's come in with that little, not even venom towards us or even to myself, but she's coming in with that little, you know, that little chip on her shoulder. And there's ways to try to just massage the chip down.
A chip on my shoulder?
Just massage it down and bring it like the pumice stone and just bring it to a nice, relaxing level and tone. And then that alleviates the World War II attributes. But that, to me, what's worse, I actually like World War II better than the radio silence. Because the radio silence, as it has been depicted in many, many ways, when someone's walking around not saying words, to me that's worse. Because now you don't know what's going on. At least if they come in and it seems like their day was disturbed or certain things were going on that probably wasn't going exactly correct, you can hash it out. Worst thing is like, honey, is there something wrong? And you get that. And once you get that moment where all of a sudden, and that goes both ways, when you get that moment where there's no real communication and you're now just trying to figure out things non-verbally, that's where the signals can get crossed even worse. And you're talking about at that particular point where we don't read minds that well as men already, that means we're going to screw it up even more then. So to me, I'd rather World War II because at least we can figure out the peace accord in Geneva than coming in with radio silence and not understanding if somebody's situation is about to get chopped off.
I don't even know what to say. Men are not mind readers, and neither are women. So let's go for both sides' points. So your point for you that you want to write down, ladies, is things you can do is tell them exactly what you want, tell them exactly your expectation. It's go for both ends, and don't expect it to happen overnight. Just give it some time and expand your communication with.
Now, when it comes to the communication, see, that works both ways, and it goes back to that mind reading. And it's not even so much that we're making it as a point that that's a major thing that a man wants is the ability to communicate with his partner in a proper way. And, I mean, we may have fun with it and joke about it, but that's very, very serious when you think about it. Communication can kill a relationship. So even before we jump into the last point of the five major things, this is something that I really have to delve on. Communication. Fellas, I've learned. There are times that I figured out over time that certain things was my fault. And it's not my fault from the sense of looking for blame or looking for this. It could be certain things as men, sometimes we don't express ourselves in a particular manner. So that makes the woman who's trying to be more inquisitive, who's trying to be more emotionally kind towards you to find out what's going on. And sometimes we want to sit there, grunt, and just scratch our back and keep it moving, not realizing that sometimes we can be shooting ourselves in the foot. Then we turn around as part of that whole segment with this number four, we turn around, end up not only shooting ourselves in the foot, but wondering why is she doing some of the things I expect her to do? Because maybe your bubblehead, and yes, I can call myself a bubblehead too, your bubblehead mind, you're sitting there not really communicating yourself at a level that's allowing the mitigation of not worrying about how to read the mind to disappear. Because now certain things, as you get more stronger, more closer, more cohesive with your partner, now number four starts becoming less of an issue. Now, the whole thing of understanding women, men will never understand them. And it's not our job to. I'm going to say that again. It's not our job to. You don't understand all the processes that go on in your body to keep you alive, but you're alive. So stop trying to sit there.
I would disagree with that a little bit.
Why would you disagree?
Because it is your job to figure out your particular woman, not every woman on the planet, but to figure out.
Now, what do you mean
woman
by figure out?
Meaning that what's her dislikes, what's her triggers, and just like vice versa. We should know what's going to get your man upset or what's going to go down. It's like what we said the next one's going to be, which is a very good one. The reason why the foundation this was made on is about motivating him, point blank. And it's about motivating him or her and her. And this whole situation, whichever relationship you're in, if you are and dating long term, if you are in a relationship, you're thinking about marriage, these are the things that you need to talk about. This is what the foundation of the couple motivators was built upon, motivating each other into those things that you want to do. Because essentially, when discussing his or her goals, like we're individuals, and then we come together in a relationship, and then it's like we leave a loose sight of our own individual selves and then try to make this thing happen, but you don't know how. So the thing is, when he's discussing his goals, ladies, don't put him down. Even if you feel like it's out of his reach or if you feel like it's foolish or whatever it is, don't put him down. That's his dream that we need to then cultivate in him. And how we do that, and it's vice versa, I will say that, is to change how the language that we speak. Instead of him saying, it's a we thing, we're in this together, make him feel like your partner's to achieve the goal, because there's nothing like, you know, you have somebody back. When somebody knows that you have their back, that means that they could pull all the way back, meaning that somebody has them to catch them. To praise him through and point out his to her strength through it all. Everybody has talent. Everybody works through positive reinforcement. It's just like with our children. And I would go back to the story with our daughter that was struggling with reading, and my husband pinpointed this out. It wasn't her reading struggle, but it was her confidence, because we did get her tested for disability in reading. Once you clear that, because I must admit, if you do all your due diligence in regards to your child's delay, or you feel like your child has a delay or anything like that, get them tested. Rule that out first. Because if you get to rule that out first, then you could be able to now say, okay, so something else is going on. And as parents, we were much so involved in our children and development. Greg said, as an educator, because he is an elementary school teacher, he said, Shirley, I feel that this is her confidence that's really interrupting her learning. And I said, well, what can we do about that? And what we did for our daughter is that every day he would take her and build up her confidence of reading and reading and reading more and more. And today I can say that's her highest subject. That is reading and English in ELA is her highest subject. So you can't tell us that this is not something that is proven. It's proven. Confidence will get you into doors people said you don't belong into those doors. Having a positive attitude towards your spouse and what he wants to do. If no one ever patted him on the back, no one ever patted her on the back, if no one ever cheered for him or her, you could be that one. And that is why we started this.
Well, one of the things to stick on the whole motivation theme and to understand what men, and that's why it's a major thing that every man wants, is that, ladies, I'm going to say this, and some of you may not like it, and you know me, I'm usually the one that always gets in trouble, and I don't mind getting in trouble because sometimes the truth hurts. If you're not motivating him in the home, if he feels like he cannot come into the domicile of whatever it is that y'all are building together, to feel like, you know what, regardless of whatever's going outside that door, that at least when I come through this door, and it's not even about you running around with fist boom bomb and pom-poms and cheerleader outfits and all kinds of craziness. No, if he feels, or he can vehemently sense, because as much as y'all said, we're not mind readers, there's still an intuitive sense in men. And if we can feel that, you know what, you don't give a darn, you're not there to motivate me, you're not there to say, you know what, honey, you know, you may have went 0 for 3 today, but tomorrow you're going to go 3 for 4 and you got it. And you just look at him and, oh, you went 0 for 3. That's what you is, an 0 for 3 person.
Oh, wow.
Believe you me.
Zero.
Believe you me. There's somebody out there who's willing to motivate him. And that's where we come in. Because now there becomes a reason why there's not just something just because we see a big behind or a particular body, and that's the reason why we just trip and fall and stuff. No, it doesn't start that way. Sometimes it starts with a casual conversation. You know what? That person who's busting his behind, probably going to school, maybe not in the position that he wants, and he's working diligently, moving towards something. And if he knows if he goes home, all he's going to do is hear argument and stress on top of the stress of him trying to do his day and the stress of, you know, being a responsible individual in this, then after a while, you're wondering why he's staying at work late. All of a sudden, he's hanging out with his coworkers. All of a sudden, he's at the bar. And all it takes is one person that I'm telling you, and that goes male or female, all it takes is that one person to sit there and make that person feel validated. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, Well, I'm going to go home to the, like, I hate when people say it, but sometimes it comes to that way if they present themselves or put themselves in that particular position. Why am I going home to the ball and chain? That ball and chain could be male or female. Why am I going to go home to that? That's going to stress me out even more, and I know I'm out here doing my best effort. I mean, we all can do better. There's things that we all can aspire to
do. But I
want to
put a point, though, what you're saying. He's out there doing his best.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about the ones that
oh, no,
are not,
about the
that's sitting on the
mm-hmm.
couch.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, that make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are doing something.
Progressive people. People who are moving.
Yes. If you have a male, if you are
a
female in this relationship that are doing something with their lives, because everyone goes down and has failures in life.
Mm-hmm.
Failure is part of the process. However, it's time to get back up again. But when you don't get back up again, that's when it becomes an issue. And there's going to be some times that we're going to talk about depression in the marriage. And also, when a person can't get back up again, when it's time to intervene with some outside counseling therapy,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be very poignant in your relationship when you know that spouse, maybe you lost or she lost a job, and she or he cannot get back on the grind again to say, I can do this. And a lot of the what we have with motivation is a part of the therapy process too.
Mm-hmm.
When you have someone in your corner, it is statistically shown that people do better. And even with our daughter, you can see the confidence grew. We
yes.
saw the confidence grow in her. We are the children of these little humans. So the whole point is that if you put that in them from now, why can't this be in their relationship? That's why we did this. We did this because we know that motivation, like my husband said, he's a coach on the field with teenagers and little kids and stuff like that. It works in children.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. I work with girls, too, in regard to self-esteem. Your esteem can be boosted if someone ever told you, you can do it. I know you can. I have your back. I have you, and I don't have a way back. If you fall, falling and failure is a part of the journey.
Now, one,
it's a part of the journey.
Not to interject. Those who have not failed
mm-hmm.
will never lead.
Ooh, that's good.
Those who have not failed will never lead. Why?
Good.
Because part of being in any form of leadership is just the same way when I tell my kids, like we're on the field and, like this past season, the team that I specifically coached, we had an excellent season. And regardless of how certain things may have transpired once we reached the playoffs, the one thing I wanted them before we left that field to understand is that I was proud of each one
yes.
of them. That we as a team, we either win together
yes.
or we lose together.
Yes.
And not even that. To hear some of them go on to high school, the different places, and to hear the people in those schools come back to us and say,
yes,
whatever you did with these kids,
amazing.
Now, whatever you're doing, we want more kids from your program to come to our school. That to me is better than worrying about the money, because the universe will figure out the way for certain blessings to come into your hands. But when you're coming from a standpoint of motivation, of understanding that you're there just not to nitpick and tell people what to do, but you're there to listen, you're there to, kind of help shape and just let them come to the realization within themselves that they can.
Yeah.
And that's what motivation is about. See, the worst thing you can do is just run around and say, you need to do this because I'm telling you to do it. That means now you're training up a slave and not a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're training up a leader, you will give that person a task and see if they can complete it. And then ask them, how do they accomplish it? Now, if they can accomplish the goal without necessarily using your own tools or using your time or your expertise or anything that you have just to add on to them, that means you're dealing with someone who can potentially lead. Now, if you always got to hold someone's hand and anything that they do, you're going to be like, I can't go here if Cheryl ain't in my hand. That means I don't need to lead, because that means there's going to be days that Cheryl's not there. So what's going to happen? If Cheryl's not there, that means Greg can't do it. The same thing, one of the things I love about my wife is that if I'm not there, she can do it. There's days she'll pick up a nail, she'll pick up a drill, She'll be knocking holes all over the place, but she's going to get it done. But then at the same time, I respect that, even if I got to patch stuff up or help fix certain things afterwards. But she can do some excellent work. But what I'm saying is, to bring it all to a close, is that I have enough confidence in her to say that, you know what, she's not sitting there just saying, well, I'm a woman, I'm going to wait till he come in to do it. See, men don't like that. That's a little extra. We like, just like they said, like that song, that young man, it was a couple of years ago, we're not here to promote anything, but you know it's about independence. See, if you go back to that song, the thing that made that song such a great hit, and the guys loved it just as much as the ladies loved it, was the fact that a boss, a man who wants to be a boss, wants a boss next to him. And if he has somebody who's weak next to him, then there's a problem. Because that person has to be the person that's, as she's saying, she's the one that's pushing it. And vice versa. Sometimes there are women who are excelling in the workplace and doing things that maybe she may be doing a little bit more than a man. And then maybe it's not so much as the reversal of roles, because if you're in partnership, it's not really a true reversal of the role. Then it's time for you as a man to turn around and say, you know what, baby, I got you. If it means that, you know, you're out there grinding and I'm your partner, and all of a sudden if it means that I can, you know, hook up a foot massage, a little, you know, hook up, you know, a great dinner in the household for you, then, hey, that's what it's all about. And see, sometimes we get caught up in the old mindset of what is considered gender roles.
Yeah,
it's not so much gender roles. And we're bringing it to a close, but don't get caught up in gender roles. Oh, they just supposed to do it because that's what it is. Stop. Now you're dealing from a level of ignorance that you're not allowing yourself to evolve. Because just like they said, some of the best chefs in the world are men. Some of the greatest architects who are starting to design some of the greatest things nowadays are women. So please don't get caught up in those roles where it's like, wait a minute, architects are usually men, and they're the ones that's going to design and do what they got to do, and women are supposed to be in the kitchen, and they're going to just cook up the meal. No, stop it. Get it off your mindset. Get it out that thing where you understand that you're allowing yourself in the 21st century to say, you know what? We're in this together. It's not about you rowing on one part. You have one boat and I have one boat. No, we're in the same darn boat, and you stroke your side, I stroke my side, and we can go forward together than trying to say, okay, I got a better boat than you. And that goes back to motivation. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're dealing with someone who's progressively doing something and is a pretty decent individual and he's not abusive, oh, she's not abusive, please motivate each other. Because through that motivation, you're going to build, and you're going to build that structure, and those steps in each level that you're going to have is going to keep going and keep growing and keep going and keep growing. And the worst thing you can do, which can drop the building real quick, is when you all of a sudden that motivation or that feeling of love and appreciation is not there. Once that's gone, and this, even though this is focused on men right now, whoever it is, male or female, once that appreciation is gone, that's when the eye starts to wander. So if you don't want wandering eyes, you don't want Miss Susie May all up in your business, in your neighborhood business, and all kinds of stuff, seeing who's which or what or who, do what you gotta do within your relationship to motivate each other to the highest level.
This is great. So if you would like to contact us next week, write down the number 347-996-3160. Greg is going to give you our email.
TheCoupleMotivators@gmail.com. It's temporary until the GregAndCherylClark.com website, which is from what I'm hearing is going through a great transformation right now. And yeah, very soon. So until the GregAndCherylClark.com website is up, you can hit us up at TheCoupleMotivators@gmail.com. Don't forget our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCoupleMotivators. Go like the page.
Thank you, and we can't wait to hear from you next week. Don't forget to email your questions. So if you have any questions, you can call us live. We'll be here next week, same time, same channel. And we love you. God bless.
And, yes, we accept all your comments. So if I was being a bad boy today, please let me know. If I was being a good boy today, let me know. No, it's Cheryl. No, Cheryl's always a good boy. She's only naughty in certain other places. But anyway, until next week. Having with you, and it's a pleasure being next to my lovely wife, Cheryl Clark, here at the Couple Motivators. Until next time, peace.
Thanks.
So I'm happy to have this remote on this side where it can see me. That thing's about to act like say boop. Click, 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 click. Huh? So now I see. That thing lasted like 2 hours until it lost the signal. So I know next week. Don't turn that thing on until like 8:30 and it won't flap off again.
Oh, it was on the whole time?
Yeah. That's why I see. When it just said no signal, that's when I knew that this
was going to go off.
No, it went off.
Yeah.
Gotta give me a couple minutes. I guess the.
You gotta do what?